Krishna. Welcome everyone. So we'll just review last week what we discussed in 12th chapter. We begin the chapter, right? Okay. So 1 to 7. So 12th chapter is called Devotional Service in Bhagavad Gita.
Personal path.
He wanted to clarify for himself. Yeah, that's very nice. Okay. So what is what does Krishna reply?
Lord Krishna says devotional service is the perfect path. Because when you are doing devotional service, you know, all your activities become spiritual. And worshipping impersonal, that's difficult because we are embodied and we are used to, body concept. We think, God also has body, so it's easier to worship God.
Okay. And what are some of the, we had a chart, right? Differences between personal and impersonal. What are the difficulties of impersonal path?
Name is the goal.
Yeah. Because ultimately, even impersonal path, for success, they have to come to realize Krishna again. So if they don't do, then they miss the goal. So the whole thing is lost, basically. Yeah.
And then once they are advanced in that path,
they get attached to the process. They get attached to that, or they get conditioned to thinking that way. Suddenly they cannot start thinking, no, Lord is actually a person with two hands and like that. Yeah, these are some of the highlights of the difference between the two paths. So then finally, 6 to 7. So Krishna says, actually promises, for the person and his devotees, he becomes a swift deliverer, right? He says that I'm actually swift. CEO himself says that, for them, I protect them. I make sure that they deliver, they get delivered. So, Lord helps for the devotee. So, we discussed the example of the monkeys and the baby monkey and this, and the cat and the kitten. So, impersonalists, they make advancement on their own. So, they are on their own. Whereas, for the devotees, Krishna is always guiding them, are making arrangements so they get more purified and they get more closer to Krishna all the time. So that makes it much easier. So the question usually, initially I used to also think, or you may be wondering actually, so how, you may not have experienced getting attracted to the impersonalist path earlier. You don't even know what it is, right? Now only you are knowing what is impersonalism. So then on my question actually, how does it manifest for practicing devotees? Is this discussion anywhere related to practicing devotees? In the sense, is it applicable to me at all or no?
Why bother to know it?
Yeah, exactly. One thing is, for preachers, it's good to know, and also, because in the world, there are so many people following that path. So, clearly, logically, what is Krishna's position regarding this? How to substantiate our logic and reasoning? And how to also have a logical argument with them? Instead of just saying bhakti is great, then he will say impersonalist path is great. Then the argument ends there, right?
It will also know that if someone is talking about it, from where he's coming.
Exactly.
From.
Yeah.
But at least we know whether to continue or whether.
So this is like lokagnana, awareness. That's one thing. But practically also, I was just reflecting. It manifests in practicing devotee bhaktas' lives also. Like the way it happens is, basically, the impersonalist path is mostly about negation. Mayavadi path also is. Mayavadi is like more offensive. It's negation. Negation means they exclude everything. It's like, okay, senses are not connected. It's on material. This is material. This is material. This is material. And it's all ultimately Brahman. There is one Brahman overall. That's Mayavadi path, right? That one, impersonalist path is like you asked this question last time. There is basically the two categories, Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Both of them think that ultimately the, no actually, so both of them are attracted to worshipping the impersonal form. They are not attracted to worshipping personal form. But Brahmavadis know that there is a personal form behind the impersonal form, but they are not attracted to worshipping. That means they know there is somebody called Krishna, or maybe they don't know the name, but somebody has a form, everything behind this impersonal form, but they are not attracted to worshipping forms. So they just choose, I want to worship impersonal, but they are not offensive to the Lord because they accept the Lord as form. So these are called Brahmavadis. So they, Brahmavadis means they follow the Brahman, Brahmavadis, like that you can say. And Mayavadis, they say actually God is no form at all. Ultimately everything is impersonal. So they deny the Lord's form. So that is more offensive part. So they don't, yeah, so if you want to know the little difference between these two. So now, so generally impersonalists, it's like they don't know how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Because the connection is not there, right? So mostly the way they do it is negating it. No, okay, like for example, it's Jains, right? They don't, they put a mask because they don't want insects to go inside and they don't want to be responsible to kill the insects. Something like that. No, so they don't drink milk and things like that, all those things. Because they just want to stop. So the way it manifests in devotee's life is, initially we also may do certain activity because there is something in it for us. Because we gain some fame or power or prestige or recognition or something like that. Something we subtly we seek. Then we may get attracted to so-called service. We may do that service with that motive. Right? But that is sense gratification. Right? So karmi, fruity workers. After some time when you realize, because of some purification, you realize actually, you know, motive is impure. When you realize, then you feel, okay, I don't want that service at all. You know, because I have the impure motive and I know the environment that service is creating may increase my lust and, you know, desire for prestige and all those things. I just don't want that service at all. You know, let me do something elsewhere. I don't want it at all. So negation. One is enjoyment, the karmi. Other one is negation, jnani, impersonalist path. But we are not supposed to be either of that. We are supposed to be bhakta, means we have to use it and use it only for service of the Lord. Engage it in service of the Lord. So in that case, the bhakta would do, okay, let me do the service with a prayerful attitude. Krishna, please protect me from getting entanglement. Please protect me from, you know, increasing this impure activity, desires in my heart. But this is service you have given me, but I have to do it as a dutiful way. That is the right attitude. That's how we can make proper advancement. Yukta Vairagya, right? Engage everything in the service. That is proper renunciation. This so-called, like, you know, I don't want this service, seemingly it's a renunciation, but it's Falgu Vairagya, we heard it, right? It's impartial renunciation. Or it's not full, it's not, it doesn't have a full conception. Yeah, in my own life I had this example, so then it just struck me. It's like, oh, see, I also have these tendencies. Impersonal, this is impersonalist tendency actually. So I just, now I say I don't want, but no, it makes it more difficult to do the service at the same time, you know, not get entangled and do all this. That's where we need more dependence on the Lord, more surrender. So that's what Krishna wants actually. It's okay? It's very clear, right? So this is how it manifests in devotee's life. When you see yourself negating completely, not seeing its connection with the Lord, that means, you know, something, maybe, you know, you're not able to see it in a personalist way, devotee way, where you see the connection with the Lord. So something which I wanted to share. Okay. So text number 8 to 12 is very, very sweet section and very crucial actually. This whole chapter is very beautiful actually. Very short and sweet. So this section, Krishna is giving different levels of achievement in bhakti. Actually, he's giving kind of, you know, what is the highest goal one has to achieve in bhakti, and also if one cannot do that one, what can we do? He gives like a ladder of, we can be at any rung, but still we can make advancement. So we'll see this very nicely. One can put, if somebody is interested in, you know, studying deeply, you know, we can put all these verses together in a chart, then it's very nice. You can easily, for our assignments we did that, so we can easily see and appreciate the beauty of this section.
What section can you repeat?
8 to 12. Krishna is talking about levels of achievement in bhakti. He's talking about, like, if you read the verses, you'll get make it clear. He talks about the highest level, says if you cannot do this, do this. You cannot do this, do this. At least do this, at least do this. So we can find ourselves where we are at actually. And then we can still see that there is hope. Okay, text number 8. Mai eva mana adaswa mai buddhim niveshaya nivaishishyashi mai eva ata urdhvam na samshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. So here if you see, Krishna is telling about the requirements and he's also telling about the result. The requirements are like one has to fix the mind upon Supreme Lord and one has to engage all his intelligence in Krishna. So mind and intelligence are absorbed in the Lord. Then what's the result? You live with me always. So we are always Krishna conscious. There is no doubt about it. Right? So... So 8 and 9 verse talks about mind. If you want to write down some other 8th and 9th
mind
talks about mind. Okay, we'll read this short purport.
One who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there is no doubt that his position is transcendental from the very beginning. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna, and his internal potency are dancing on the tongue of the devotee, when he offers Krishna food, Krishna directly accepts these eatables and the devotee becomes Krishnaized by eating the remnants. One who does not engage in such service cannot understand how this is so. Although this is a process recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and in other Vedic literatures.
Okay. So here Prabhupada is very clearly saying, a devotee does not live in a material plane. He lives in Krishna. See, then that means, we may call ourselves devotees. So we are not actually devotees. Because we are not always living with Krishna, right? Or in Krishna. So that's why when Prabhupada says devotee, actually many times he means pure devotee. So holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. So because the devotee is always remembering the Lord in different ways and seeing how to serve the Lord, for offering bhoga and all those things, then he is always absorbed in Krishna. So this verse Krishna is talking about pure devotee actually. So pure devotion. So he's saying if you are a pure devotee of me, you'll always be with me. So there is one nice... In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada also was telling, Mataji was just reading recently. See, Prabhupada was saying, wherever I am, I am always in Vrindavan. See, it doesn't matter where I am, New York or wherever, it doesn't matter where I am. Because I am always thinking of Krishna, I am always in Vrindavan. But if I am not like that, even if I go to Vrindavan, actually I am not in Vrindavan. We all of us, right? We go to Vrindavan and start thinking about my job, my family, my in-law, so many issues and so many things. Then we are not in Vrindavan, right? But we may be here and we are always absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, then we are in Vrindavan. So it's all about our consciousness and our absorption. That's the point. So this is the highest level actually. So Krishna is going down now. We'll see in the next verse. Text number 9. If we cannot do that, can we all do this? Verse number 8 already? No, right? So it's a pure devotion. It's a goal for us. So let's see what concession Krishna is giving. Text number 9. Ata chittam samadatum na sakshnoshi mai stiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Okay, so this is our level, most of us. We cannot fix our mind on Krishna without deviation. So what should we do? We follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. That means, sadhana bhakti. This verse is talking about sadhana bhakti. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, it's also called. Then what will happen? What's the result? So this is a requirement. Requirement Krishna is giving, follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga or sadhana bhakti. And the result is?
purify ourselves.
No. What does Krishna say? We'll have develop a desire to attain Krishna. So we'll develop a desire, oh, Krishna is in spiritual world, I want to go back to him. I want to also come to the pure platform. That's what we are getting, right? Every time when we hear, we feel, oh, I wish I can be advanced like this. I wish I can be pure like this. So that means we are developing a desire to attain Krishna. Okay, so let's read the first paragraph.
In this verse, two different processes of bhakti yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed an attachment for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. So this actually, I'm a little bit confused. He says in this verse, but he's referring to the earlier verse also, mm-hmm. looks like. So the first verse refers to the development of attachment to Krishna. No, they're pure, there is a fixed attachment for the Lord. No, they have already developed that attachment. Second verse, one who has not developed, they follow the regulative principles and gradually elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. That's what. This is summarizing the two verses. Okay, so let's read the last paragraph. To practice regulative principles. So what does it mean to practice the regulative principles of bhakti, which Prabhupada is going to elaborate in the last paragraph.
To practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna, then collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity, take prasadam and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow, and one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of God, and then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of bhakti yoga under the rules and regulations with the direction of a spiritual master will surely bring one to the stage of
love of God. So what are some of the aspects of sadhana bhakti? So there is certain rules, as Mataji was saying, right? We don't have the spontaneous, last time, spontaneous attraction for Krishna. We are said, okay, stand 16 on, so we do it. Okay, eat prasadam, so do it, like that, you know. We are in that robot state. So what are some of the principles? Wake up early, attend Mangala Arati,
chant
your rounds, cook prasadam, eat only prasadam.
Hear about
Lord from the scriptures. Mainly it's guided by spiritual master. That's also one of the way, many, that's when actually it really starts. When we are under the shelter of a spiritual master, and it's all guided by the spiritual master's instructions. The first instruction spiritual master gives is chant 16 rounds, avoid the four irreligious principles. So that's the first instruction spiritual master gives. So then actually here Prabhupada also saying take prasadam. So that's also one regulation. We may seem it's like, you know, it's like a fact, like day-to-day thing. It's a normal thing. What is it? Anyway, we eat, but we... So one lecture, last time also we were sharing, right? Prabhupada is emphasizing so much about taking prasadam, you know. All the devotees in the temple, most of them at that time were living in the temple, the women and the men. So somehow they were avoiding eating prasadam, I think. They were going outside and eating or something. So he was emphasizing, you know, take prasadam. That's the most benevolent thing Lord has given us. Eat prasadam, you can make spiritual advancement, you know. Why everybody should eat prasadam? When I was a grihastha, I used to walk every Sunday and go to a few temples and eat prasadam there. And that's mercy of the Lord. Everybody should eat prasadam. So eating prasadam means we are accepting remnants of the Lord, like, you know, that itself shows that we are, you know, our ego is little down. I'm eating after somebody has eaten, right? Of course, we may not believe he's eaten. That's another fact. Like, you know, doesn't matter, you know, everything is fresh. Still, plate is full. But at least, you know, subtly, I remember, now only I'm remembering. Actually, initially when I began my Krishna consciousness, And of course, I was not married at that time. So when I was told that, you know, slowly I was chanting maybe four rounds like that, and then following this one, I was so much into mode of passion and impatient like that. Even the 2 minutes to put in front of the Lord was so restless. I could not put it and then wait 2 minutes. I'm like so hungry and so whatever. It's not about hunger also. It's that's all. That's how we are situated actually, you know. The 2 minutes also we cannot wait.
It's like, yeah. I can observe in kids, like when kids are hungry and we think we have to offer, they cannot wait.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, we want to eat right now.
Yeah.
I think our position is...
offered, and like I had gone to the bedroom and then I saw Rishi was there and picking from there and eating. I said, stop doing it. No, I'm also hungry, he said.
Yeah, my kids are always, you know, we just offer. We still ringing bell, getting up. Then Marathi asks, Amma, Krishna done eating? Krishna done eating? Sometimes I feel, you know, it should not... we should not make it so often that they feel it's like a block. You know, whenever I eat, Krishna has to eat. What is this? You know, it should not be like a... it should not come as a negative impact for them. For example, when we buy new stuff, right? Like when we get just now from the shop, then immediately they say we want to eat. Then we say, you know, oh, we didn't offer to Krishna, we cannot eat. They feel like, you know, Krishna is blocking them to eat and things like that, right? I hope it's not, but yeah. So, so that's what... yeah, what are we discussing? Yeah, prasadam.
Well, this lecture, if you
have... oh, that like, I don't know, Prabhu. It's, I sometimes I listen from the radio, but I don't check what lecture. Otherwise, yeah, I will find, I'll check, yeah, let you know. It's very beautiful, yeah. Or you can search some of these, I will try to search some of these keywords on Prabhupada Vani. You should be able to hit, yeah. Keyword. I will see if I remember a particular phrase from the lecture. Yeah, so this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, as Mataji was saying, we are doing under obligation. But the same Sadhana Bhakti will purify our heart, that one, that spontaneous love will awaken later on. That same activities, we will spontaneously, nobody has to force us, nobody has to be behind us, nobody has to check, okay, only when spiritual master is there, I will do it, otherwise I will not do. We don't need to do that. Spontaneously, we feel like, you know, let me offer a prayer to the Lord now. For example, you know, elderly ages, Radhakrishna Prabhu like that, right? Their body is in such a state that they cannot eat so many stuff, like, you know, sweets and deep fried, all this stuff they cannot eat. But they have so much desire to make an offer to the Lord, that much it will be. That they know they are not going to eat, but still they make, put the effort, make an offer. Imagine that amount of love, you know, which we have. So that's one instance, you know, to measure, you know, where can it go like that, you know, such spontaneous attraction towards serving the Lord. I hope we can come there someday. Okay, so that's some of the points. We'll go to the next verse, text number 10. Text number 10 and 12 actually, they talk about...
10 and 12?
Yeah, 10 and 12. Yeah, 10, 11 and 12 actually, all of them. 12 is what is it? Yeah, 12 also part of it actually. So, yeah, 10 and 11 mainly talk about karma yoga. So, let's talk about, means basically how do we engage our activities in service of the Lord. There are different degradations also now. So, next level. So, text number 9 is saying follow the regulative principles of bhakti. What if somebody cannot do it? What if somebody is, you know, Muslim or whatever, they don't want to follow sadhana bhakti? Is there any way they can make advancement? So, let's see what Krishna says. Text number 10. अभ्यासे अपि असमर्थो असि मत्कर्मा परमो भव मदर्थम अपि कर्माणि कुर्वान् सिद्धिम् अवाप्स्यसि. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me you will come to the perfect stage. So he's saying, if you cannot practice daily, you know, chanting certain number of rounds, you know, following these four regulated principles, all those things, then what should we do? You can at least work for Krishna. That means, whatever we do, do some, give some amount for Krishna. You know, the result. The whole, like 3 months, 4 months of working, we may not remember Krishna. But then, when we get the result, we may give little bit to Krishna. So that much only we are remembering Krishna. Because by working for him, what's the result you will get? You will come to the perfect stage. So gradually, we will get attracted, will become purified to take up sadhana bhakti someday. So for example, all our relatives or somebody else, you know, who are not ready to take up chanting, all those things, we can see, you know, we can we engage them like this, if they have money or if they have ability to do some service, know, can we engage them in doing such a service? So that way they can begin the path. That's a practical way to look at it. So let's read first little bit from the purport.
One who is not able to even practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga under the guidance of the spiritual master can still be drawn to the perfectional stage by working for the Supreme Lord. How to do this work has already been explained in 55th verse of 11th chapter. One should be sympathetic to to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who are engaged in propagation of Krishna consciousness and they require help. So even if one cannot directly practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, we can try to help such work.
We can pause there. So that's what. No, because preaching movement and propagation of Krishna consciousness is so crucial now, and they need lot of everything, manpower, financial resources, people who can publicize, so many people, everybody can be engaged in such service. So then whatever is our ability, how much ever we can contribute to the preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's how we can gradually then become attracted to devotional principles. So this one, a little further down, the same work, however, can be performed. Okay, the only one second. Okay, let's continue. It's okay. Every endeavor
requires land, capital, organization and labor. Just as in business, one requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor and some organization to expand. So the same is required in the service of Krishna. The only difference is that
In materialism,
one works for sense gratification. The same work, however, can be performed for satisfaction of Krishna, and that is
spiritual activity.
If one has sufficient money, he can help in building an office or temple for propagating Krishna consciousness, or he can help with publication. There are various fields of activities, and one should be interested in such activities. If one cannot sacrifice the results of his activity, the same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one to rise to a higher state of love for God, whereupon one becomes perfect.
Okay, so within this, so basically same Prabhupada is saying, you know, everything, even spiritual activities, to build a temple, we require same things, like, you know, manpower, resources, organization, everything. So we can engage in that one, so that way we can make, you know, spiritual devotional service basically. So there are two categories here it's mentioned. One is fully giving everything to Krishna. That is called basically, you know, where it says that same work can be performed for satisfaction of Krishna. So that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. Means, Nishkama means no desire for oneself. Nishkama Karma Yoga. But otherwise, if we still have some attachment, for example, where we say one cannot sacrifice the results, then same person can sacrifice some percentage. That is called Sakama Karma Yoga. Means, we still do some Karma Yoga, means karma in connection with the Lord, but we still have some attachment and we expect some results and things like that. So within this verse, is both are included basically. Somebody can give fully to Krishna. That means, you know, full-time devotees, or somebody is working, for example, Janavatsar Prabhu, like fully working for Krishna. Like that. But of course, he is following the regulative principles also. Sakama means they can only give little bit. For example, once in a while they come to temple and they donate to certain Sunday feast and things like that, only that much. So based on either of way, depending on how much they surrender, they can make advancement accordingly. Okay? So any questions or comments so far?
The question is, if a person is doing Nishkama, means there's no kama, there's no desire at all. If he's doing everything for Krishna, it's very...
advanced stage.
It seems like it's in almost very close to completely, like he's doing everything for Krishna. So, Nishkama, there's nothing kama at all.
Oh.
So, my personal desire is not there. So, everything is for Krishna. So, I'm working Krishna. I'm working for everything for Krishna. So, then what is the difference?
Oh, okay. So, this I think... of course, you know, in ultimate sense, nishkama, perfect nishkama karma yogi is a pure devotee.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, but this, in that particular activity is having nishkama. Like, you know, we cannot really say completely nishkama karma yogi. But, for example, let's say I'm working at a particular place. With respect to that money and that thing, he is nishkama. But rest of the day, he may do sense gratification. Like, he may indulge in sense gratification, or he may do so many things which are not according to the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti.
Yeah, but then that won't be completely nishkama, right?
Yeah. No, in that, basically in that particular thing, he doesn't have a desire for himself. He just want to give the results. For example, all these people, right, they run.
If he has come to that platform of giving it to Krishna, then how can his mind?
No, only for particular thing they can do. For example, see, many people, they raise for fundraising for a particular event. They can run. Right? So for that particular event, they are willing to sacrifice so many hours and running and everything. But rest of their life, it's not like, you know, they're so giving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true, but still that's in the material platform when it comes to the transcendental platform.
No, same thing. Somebody can do certain activity for Krishna for only particular time. Say, for example, Ekadashi.
Written from Krishna that if I do this service, my life will be much
better. Yeah, something. Say, for example, when, okay, for example, how Sangeeta Mataji started coming to Krishna is, they one Kartik, they suddenly started coming to Mangalarti. That's how they started. So they know auspicious, Kartik is auspicious, okay, let's go to temple. Right? So 1 month they do. But what if they stopped after that, then they may come into one of these categories. Like that month they may do like, oh, okay, let me only do for Krishna. But if they didn't set up the rest of their life properly, they're nowhere. They're not really coming to the perfect stage. That's what. So in that particular aspect, they're nishkama. But rest of it, yeah, but what you said is makes sense, because perfect nishkama karma yoga is actually, yogi is actually a pure devotee. Yeah, yeah, very good. Okay.
Another one question.
Huh?
You said nishkama is one who completely gives his salary to Krishna. Then how will he sustain? Like, or is it, does he use everything in the service of Krishna to maintain family as a service to Krishna? Like, is it different or same?
Yukta Vairagya, right? No, that's what, you know, like, that's also a service to Krishna, right? Giving everything to Krishna means, when he sees these are also service to Krishna, he's also giving to Krishna only, no? It doesn't see, like, wife is separate from service to Krishna.
So, directly or indirectly?
Yeah, directly or indirectly.
With that consciousness.
Yes, with that consciousness. Yeah. Okay, text number 11. अतैतद् अपि आसक्तोऽसि कर्तुं मद्योगमाश्रिता सर्वकर्मफलत्यागं तथा कुरु यतात्मवान्. If however you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. So in this Krishna is saying that if you cannot give the results to Krishna, then give to some cause, like, you know, some I camp or so many things are there, right? Social, social welfare activities. So give to some cause, for example, cancer hospital or something. Give to somebody. So we'll see why, you know, it's useful, beneficial by giving to somebody. Okay, let's read the list from the beginning.
It may be that one is unable even to sympathize with the activities of Krishna consciousness because of social, familial or religious considerations, or because of some other impediments. If one attaches himself directly to the activities of Krishna consciousness, there may be objections from family members or so many other difficulties. For one who has such a problem, it's advised that he sacrifice the accumulated result of his activities to some good cause.
We can pause there. So basically here that person is, even though he thinks that, you know, Krishna consciousness is beneficial, everything, due to circumstances he's not able to follow. Let's say, you know, maybe wife is such a crazy lady or something, that, you know, she's completely against atheistic, and it's going to create a big, you know, hassle at home. Then somehow secretly he has to practice Krishna. There is one Prabhu actually, even now. Yeah, it's like that only in that family. But see, you know, he comes in a jogging dress and sometimes comes to Mangalarti and he chants his rounds and goes. So wife thinks he went for walking, but he does secretly like this. No, he has to do like that, so that there is, because that's what he was advised, you know, keep the family, you know, peaceful and still slowly do it. So maybe she will also come one day. in these cases, outwardly, explicitly, they cannot do offer their devotion to the Lord. Then they have to do secretly like this. Another incident, many of the some big people, they got attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Like, for example, even this George Harrison. He was a big lead singer, right? Like, he was very topmost and everything like that. So, he started, he became favorable to Krishna consciousness and Srila Prabhupada, everything. So, he asked Prabhupada, actually, you know, do you want me to take initiation with you? He said, no, don't. If you take, then that's all. Everything, all the popularity will go. You see, because he thinks that everybody will think it's some cult and all those things, right? He said, no, you stay where you are and just sing about Krishna. That's how you preach about Krishna. So, that's what he did. But actually, in the heart, actually, he is much more than a disciple for Srila Prabhupada. Much more than a disciple. That's how he considered Srila Prabhupada as. Because he followed that instruction to the heart like that, you know. And even there is another person also, Peter Burwash. He was a very good businessman or tennis player, I think. He was also like that, you know. Prabhupada, Peter Burwash, I think. He now gives a lot of conferences about corporate, you know, how to efficiently work and things like that, how to apply the spiritual principles at Krishna Krishna consciousness at workplace and things like that. He was also one of the lead person in tennis or something like that. So if those popular figures, they convert to Krishna, somehow, you know, people don't accept it, or they actually put negative, more negative on Krishna. So rather they stay in their position and somehow utilize their position to bring more people to Krishna. That's an effective way to preach, you know, because they can't outwardly do it. So that's, you know, some of the examples to think about it like that. So some good cause. So let's continue further. It's in the middle of the line that is also recommended here because by?
That is also recommended here because by the practice of...
So what is that is donation to charity or social welfare activities?
Because the practice of giving up the fruits of one's activities, one is sure to purify his mind gradually, and in that purified stage of mind, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness. Of course, Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any other experience, because Krishna consciousness itself can purify one's mind. But if there are impediments to accepting Krishna consciousness, one may try to give up the results of his actions. In that respect, social service, community service, national service, sacrifice for one's country, etc., may be accepted so that someday one may come to the stage of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 18.46, we find it stated, Yata pravrittir bhutanam, if one desires to sacrifice for the Supreme Cause, even if he does not know that the Supreme Cause is Krishna, he will come gradually to understand that Krishna is the supreme cause by the sacrificial method.
Mm. So it's very clear. So by giving to somebody or something, one is gradually practicing renunciation, detachment. Then one gets purified. So eventually it may take long time. One may get purified enough to somehow coming across with the devotees, or now somehow get attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness later on, after many lifetimes. Like that. So in that regard, Prabhupada is making a very good point that social service, community service, etc. may be accepted so that they will eventually lead to pure devotional service. So not that once we come to this devotional service, we start looking down at people who give charity for cancer or so many things, you know. They also have a particular position, role to play, or they are also making progress, right, towards Krishna, but they're situated at a different location. They are not ready right now to accept the regulative principles of bhakti. But still, they are on the way. Right? So, it's not like we offend them. Or like, for example, one of our office friends or somebody is very attached to... He doesn't want anything about bhakti and chanting. He doesn't like anything. But he likes to give to some... by iCamp, or he is like a full-time worker there. Many people, right? They work... this is Asha, so many organizations. So we know that, you know, that is not transcendental goal. We know that, you know, they may not, it's not, we know all the philosophy, you know, we cannot start brainwashing them or, you know, start saying that, you know, what you're doing is useless. In this life, you're not going to get any result. You know, what's the point? If they're ready, if we have the relationship, if they're ready to take the final thing, we can. But otherwise, we can, in the heart, we can feel like, you know, okay, yeah, they are on the way. At least they are doing something for somebody. instead of just enjoying their life for sense gratification.
So what should we be there in that position? Should we not do the charity, or that we can still do that and be a part of Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, it depends on our faith. Once we are convinced that, you know, Krishna consciousness, you know, serving Krishna is all in all. By serving Krishna, I am serving everybody else. Then devotee will not, you know, he will not want to divert his attention in so many ways. He will say, okay, all my efforts are towards Krishna and propagating Krishna consciousness movement, because that's going to be the greatest benefit for everyone. So then all the charity I give only, we also have to give, meant to, grihasthas especially, are meant to give charity. So we give to qualified brahmanas, sannyasis, so they, for the help of propagation of Krishna consciousness movement and things like that. Like that. Depends on the faith. But still, if we don't have that full faith and we feel, you know, this also needed, that's also needed, that's not so needed, yeah, we can start giving that and also cultivate Krishna consciousness. Eventually, the faith will develop. Then we'll feel, you know, I would rather do this.
Basically, in Bhubaneswar, there is an anath ashram by our house. There's this small kids, a lot of kids are there. So they're very organized and very disciplined. Without prayer, they won't take food or all this thing. But then every month we give something to them. So at this point, should we stop it? Because we are into Krishna consciousness, so...
No, if you find...
That every month we will provide something to them.
You unless you find
they pray, they do
that's okay. So this is basically pious work. So you are going to get pious results for that. It's not really connected to Krishna, right? So you'll get karma for that. So if you can find a Krishna conscious replacement for it, that's good for you, because it's devotional, more devotional. Like if you find, because you have that, if you have the heart to give. If you keep it, then it's negative for us, right? Because Krishna says, at least give to some cause. If you keep it, then you're going down, right? So you find a Krishna conscious alternative for that. You know, there are so many cow protection programs, so many things people do for even food for life, giving food and things like that.
But Krishna is in everybody's heart, right? So, I mean, how can I say Krishna is
Krishna is everybody's heart, but are they using in Krishna's service? That that determines the results they get and results we get.
But if they don't have, if they are Anna, if they don't have anybody, I mean, the Krishna is a, basically, if they don't have any parents, Krishna is taking care of them. God, Lord is taking care of them. If we think that we are taking care of the parents, but of our kids, but ultimately God is taking care of them. The same way, Lord is taking care of them. And if I'm able to contribute a little bit to my thing, so indirectly or directly, it's all, it's Krishna's property going to Krishna only. It's nothing me in the middle. It's just coming through. I'm thinking that whatever I'm earning is my money, then only I'm kind of thinking, right? To me, personally, that's how it feels like. If even if I'm earning some money or something, it's not my money, it's just coming, he's the one giving through me, through this body, whatever, right? So it's all his, everything is his.
Yeah, everything is his, but so he is entitling you to certain quota. So the way you use it, it's your responsibility, right? See, for example, in one incident was there with Srila Prabhupada, like...
But if everybody thinks like that, then there won't be... Then
that's why there is role. For people who cannot accept the higher principle of giving only to Krishna, they can, they are encouraged to do this charity, right? Like that. No, so that's what I'm saying. Because that way they make progress. But that's why I'm saying even us, like, you know, if you are doing certain thing, depends on, check your faith. If you have full faith in Krishna that, you know, if I give up this thing, I'm still going to be peaceful and you know, I'm not going to be disturbed that, you know, I'm investing more in Krishna than required, then do it. But if you feel it's going to disturb me and I would rather, you know, I can see my money being utilized nicely here, you know, I would like to see like that, then keep continuing like that.
It's all what makes me come.
Exactly. Where how it makes you peaceful. Wherever I think Amit Prabhu was asking question, you know, how do we know this path or that path about your sister's marriage or something, you know, whether to take, how do you know whether this path is good, something like that, some choice he was asking. Then I was telling, once you execute that path, immediately you will know actually where you are situated, advancement level. Because after few, If you are not situated at your level of advancement, after a few days you will feel restless, you will feel anxious, you will feel nervous, you will feel depressed, so many things. Immediately you will feel anxiety because you are artificially acting at a level we are not at. Right? So that's what. So based on our level, we act where we are. That's all. Because everything has a role, as Prabhupada saying, then nothing has to be discredited or discouraged. That's all. Okay. So the last verse. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasaj jnana dhyanam vishishyate dhyanat karma phala tyagas tyagas shantir anantaram. If you cannot take to this practice, which is the practice of, you know, giving to some cause, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, so this is like jnana, impersonal jnana. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. So this is the super soul meditation, meditation on super soul. Better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So he is going down and going up again. So if he cannot give to some cause, right? So the first phrase, if you cannot take to this practice, is referring to renouncing works for Krishna's sake. Is actually multiple verses. This here it gets little confusing. So it's not related to the earlier verse. He's not saying if you cannot to give up to some cause. Everybody is paying attention. Yeah, he's referring to 10th one. 10th one, Krishna says give results to me, right? So he's saying if you cannot give up the results for me, then what happens? Then at least cultivate knowledge. Okay, now he's going down. So the last, he's saying cultivate knowledge, but above knowledge is cultivate meditation, and above meditation is give up for somebody. Got it?
Is it a somebody? Or
somebody. So the last phrase is referring to somebody again. See, first phrase is saying if you cannot give to me, what he's saying is if you cannot give to me results of your activities to me, then at least do cultivate knowledge. If you cannot, better than that is rather you do meditation. Better than that is give to some cause. Again, it's the same thing actually.
So knowledge and meditation, that comes before 11. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. So if you have to write in ladder, the way it appears is, I have written this ladder. So you can write down, I also have the verse numbers. So you can write down, then we'll again double check. The last one is, give up results for some other cause. Right, that is 11th verse.
Give up.
Basically, give up for some other cause. Verse number 11. Social welfare activities and things like that. You can write in your notes, Mata. It's going to be a chart. So it's going to be give up results for some other cause. Verse number 11. Okay. So above that, Krishna is saying is cultivate jnana. That's verse number 12. But that's Brahman realization. First you write down the chart, then we'll understand how it applies. Okay? Then above that, Krishna is saying, meditation, this yoga, basically, yogic meditation on super soul. Verse number 12 again. So you have to write a chart, like go up and go up, right, like that. You see it? You're writing like a chart, right? Above that you write, giving up results for Krishna. That is verse number 10 and 12. First phrase of 12. But the whole verse number 12, 10. For Krishna. Nishkama Karma Yoga, giving up results for Krishna. 10, 12. Above that is Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or Regulative Principles of Devotional Service. Verse number 9. Then above that is meditation, complete absorption on Krishna with pure love. Text number 8. Basically, a pure love for Krishna. We're acting on the platform of pure love for Krishna. Text number 8. Okay. Now you see. So in this verse, so he's saying, if you cannot do Nishkama Karma Yoga or for Krishna, then at least do you jump to jnana, cultivate jnana. But better than that is yogic meditation. Right? But better than that is
it is like karma yoga, right?
Oh, okay. Actually, this ladder I made it wrong, right? Some other cause should come after yogic, right? Below nishkama karma ka for Krishna. Because he says better than knowledge is meditation. Better than meditation is renunciation for fruits of action. Okay, this again. Okay, I think this fine. Okay, let's stick to this.
11 then supersedes 12.
Okay, again this. Better than meditation is renunciation of fruits of action. That also refers to verse number 10. Nishkama Karma Yoga. It's not for some other cause. Giving up for some other cause is actually lower than Brahman and Yoga. Okay, that's very clear. Because that person doesn't have any transcendental goal. If you just give charity, he doesn't have any, nothing related to spirituality at all. Right? He can be a complete sense gratifier and giving some $100 somebody something. Right? So there is no transcendental goal. But better than that is a Brahman, somebody who is cultivating, okay, I want to go, jnana, all these things. Better than that is some personal realization, Paramatma realization, yoga. Better than that is actually Nishkama, doing work for Krishna. Better than that is Sadhana Bhakti, better than that is Bhakti Yoga. Okay?
So you can... Mataji, when somebody does any charity, isn't it out of compassion? So compassion is a quality in a godly person only, right? Daya, out of daya compassion, if somebody does that, not like
no, but
to get popularity
or something. That's true, yeah. Yeah, that's also there, but there is material compassion and spiritual compassion. Compassion for the soul versus compassion for the body. That's why Arjuna also, when he said he doesn't want to fight, he was compassionate. Thinking, no, I don't want to kill this, I don't want to kill this. But Krishna said, actually, it's you are unnecessarily lamenting for, wise man doesn't lament for neither living nor dead. He said, you are a fool actually. Because your compassion is misplaced. You be compassionate for the soul, not for the body. You know, if you have to bluntly say what answer to your question. But we can tell it in a way that it's more digestible. But
why it is not...
That's what I'm saying. Because it's not rightly situated, then it results in karma again. If it's not spiritually situated, that compassion, you have to come back to reap the benefits. You may be daya, like you may give... For every $1 you give, depending on the person whom you give, you get the appropriate result back. If you are giving, there is a, I don't know where the chart is, like for, I'm like maybe paraphrasing now. If you give to somebody who's not so much qualified, but somebody is equal or something, then that $1 you have to get it back again, now some lifetime. But if you give to a very high qualified Brahmana, you have to come back and get some 1,000 times of that money back. From that particular person or some other person like that. You see, because you gave to a qualified person, it's more pious. So you have to come back to get that much piety again, to exhaust that piety.
So the good karma is binding.
Exactly. Good karma is also binding.
The more the
that's clear,
the longer time it takes.
Exactly.
The longer benefit is what you're getting in the material.
Yes, longer benefit you get.
But
rather do akarma. You give to Krishna conscious devotee, then you don't get any, you don't have to come back to get the benefit. It's completely spiritual. That's the key.
But what Mataji was telling, that she was donating to orphanage also. But they also need some money. They're counting at them. At that moment, if we stop giving charity, then what do they think about Krishna consciousness? They went into Krishna consciousness because we are not devotees, they are not... If they know, we can put it secret, but how we need to take that? How do they feel? And one more thing, when we are donating that, if we can do anything, but we want to give them money, can we pray to Krishna like that? Krishna, I want to help them, but they are not devotees. You are so powerful. I'm donating this money to them. You use them. You change them or you use them in some
So, yeah, for that reason, we can give to Krishna and Krishna will make sure that somebody gives to them. You don't have to... You want to help them, right? But you are depending on Krishna. But if you really want to be not part of this karma game, then you say, okay, I want to help them, but I am giving to you. Because he knows, he is the ultimate boss. He has money managing, he is doing. Through somebody else, he will give them. He may not even get the credit, right? If that's what anyway you want. You see the point? So that's so. Krishna will, basically as Mataji said, Krishna is maintaining them. We are just being an instrument in supplying some money so that orphanage is running. But if you see that, if you somehow stop or for some reason and you keep having that prayer, and maybe if you are intelligent, you are so compassionate, somehow arrange some other friends, you know, at work or somebody, you know, tell them about this thing, it's very beneficial, you know, do you think you want to contribute? Arrange something else and then you can do something else. Because for them that's more uplifting to do some charity. Like that, if you can do that intelligently like that also. Anyway, it's all faith. Don't take it like, you know, now whole life is changing now and so Lord, it's yeah, it's don't have to do anything. So
basically not doing anything with the ego. I mean, even if we start doing a devotion with the ego, the ego is gone, right?
Exactly.
It's gone. So basically the ego should be curtailed.
Exactly.
Ego,
so,
ego is not coming
out. Yeah. So you don't get any credit. No, subtly we may be desiring one day they'll put us in pedestal or put some photograph saying, you know, these people have maintained the orphanage. We don't know so many things, right? So,
Is it possible? This is just one example, but it's a very common question for everyone, like where to donate. But can't we try to get some advice from some spiritual master that how we can take that community to dovetail into Krishna consciousness and try dovetailing that path, put our rather than just giving money.
Yes. See, for example, like, see, in that case, right, instead of material compassion, you just give money and you don't know what's happening, like that. That's one way.
Yeah,
otherwise, whenever you go to India, make sure you go once a year and then go and have some kirtan with the kids or do some satsang or, you know, start or arrange some devotees to come and teach Bhagavad Gita to the kids every week.
I have done once, so I told them to chant and they did just like two times, at least you just did the thing. They know much better than me, Mataji. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. They started talking like that. So I was like, they are much better placed than
but
I am.
Yeah, but the regularly practicing, you know, that takes so much faith, right? Somebody has to constantly come and help them, guide them in, you know, chanting and have the asusa, have the sangha and provide prasadam and things like that, you know. If you arrange somebody like that, you know, either you or somebody like that, that's real spiritual compassion, right? So then that way, and that also may need money for doing that. You know, if you have somebody is unemployed and you want them to come full time do this, maybe you can pay them something, you know, monthly I'm going to give you this, but you go there and, you know, you help them like this. So that way it's more, that same money you're using in very different way. Now you're giving money, you don't know what's going to happen there. It's just probably maintaining their kids' daily bodily maintenance. But this way it's much more different. That's a good point. Okay, let's finish this last some sections of the purport. So the chart is clear, right, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's read the last. Yeah, last paragraph.
In summary, to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest board, there are two processes. One process is by gradual development and the other process is direct. Devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the direct method, and the other method involves renouncing the fruits of one's activities. Then one can come to the stage of knowledge, then to the stage of meditation, then to the stage of understanding the Super Soul, and then to the stage of the Supreme
Personality. Okay, see, now it makes sense, right? This is a lot. So he's saying, first is direct process, you know, bhakti yoga, sadhana, bhakti, everything. Otherwise, indirect processes, give to somebody, that's the lowest. Then gradually cultivate knowledge, then meditation, Super Soul, then personality of Godhead. So that's what the lower part of the chart. Okay.
One may take either the step-by-step process or the direct part. The direct process is not possible for everyone. Therefore, the indirect process is also good. It is, however, to be understood that the indirect process is not recommended for Arjuna because he is already at the stage of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. It is for others who are not at this stage. For them, the gradual process of renunciation, knowledge, meditation and realization of the Super Soul and Brahman should be followed. But as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, it is the direct method that is stressed. Everyone is advised to take to the direct method and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah. So it's very clear, right? So he, again, same point Prabhupada is saying, Arjuna is at a level where he can directly do personal devotion, loving service to the Lord. In that case, we should not ask him, Arjuna, okay, now donate some some of fight for this India-Pakistan war. We cannot ask him to do those things, you know. He's already want to do directly only for Krishna. So he'll do only what Krishna says. So that's the reason, you know, even this Vedas recommend this sacrifices, and after the sacrifices you eat meat and everything. So somebody may say, oh, it's mentioned in the Vedas, so, you know, we have to follow Vedas, so I'm going to do. But if you are already qualified to do much better than that principles, and you are already ready to give up meat, you would rather give up meat than do that lower principle. So depending on our adhikar, wherever we feel peaceful, that's what we are doing. If you have to judge, otherwise spiritual master will judge and tell us, you know, what we should do. Yeah, so it's very clear. So within this also, direct and indirect is there. Direct is the bhakti yoga, all those things. Indirect is give up for some other cause, then Brahman, then meditation, and then gradually coming to Krishna. So it's very sweet section, right? Any questions or comments here?
We didn't talk anywhere. Whoever prays to demigod, like majority of community nowadays, do towards praying to demigods. So where they land, in which stage?
That will come to some other cause. Give up to some other cause.
Last.
Some other cause. Yeah. Last. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Plenty of them? Okay. All the shoes are proper.